Welcome to the Spare Parts Racing Podcast, your podcast for all things motorsports. With your hosts, Sean Chevarella, Stephen Clary, and Terry Moore.
Hear that music?
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Spare Parts Racing. I'm your host, Sean.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Taylor.
Oh, I'm sorry, were you not prepared for this one?
I was not prepared.
Well, Sean, you must always be prepared.
Exactly.
That's true.
Speaking of not prepared, we are less than 2 weeks out from Christmas. Actually, less than 10 days.
Yeah.
Nine days.
Take the under.
Yeah. So, before we start, important question to y'all. Get your Christmas shopping done yet, or have you even started?
I am mostly done. I have one person left, Peter's mother's gift may not arrive. Have you even started?
Oh, hell no. I'm going to start this week. And it's already Tuesday, so by this week, I'm going to start Friday.
I hope you're going to physical places to buy these gifts, because online shopping will not be your friend unless you buy everything on Amazon.
Ooh, well, Amazon, of course. Duh.
You stress me out.
So yeah, I'll do all my stuff in the next 24 hours, and then we're good to go.
That is so wild. I'm sorry, but anyway. Why do you have a plan?
I literally have to buy for three people.
Three people?
Yes.
Fair enough.
So, like, it's not that hard, and, like, they've already made a wish list. I know what I'm going to get. I just haven't done it. We'll get there. We'll get there. And as we're getting there, we're almost done the year. So we're going to be talking this week about some of the last bits of news that have come in to end off the year, and talking about 2025 racing season as a whole. So without further ado, where do you guys want to start for this week?
I think, do we want to start with the joyful part?
Yes.
Because there's, I think out of the last week since we recorded, the most joyful news is that it's finally over.
What's finally
NASCAR,
over?
NASCAR and the teams have finally settled.
Mm-hmm. The stupidity, this is joyful over for you? Oh, okay.
Oh, it's very joyful.
Oh, I'm on the opposite.
Why is it not
You're
joyful?
The opposite?
Oh, I wanted to see them fight to the end. I wanted to see I wanted, like, guys fighting in the courtroom, like just biting and kicking each
okay.
other.
So that part of it's over. You still have Denny Hamlin now beefing on Twitter with Larry McReynolds. So you kind of got what you wanted.
I need to throw like a left hook at him. That's all I'm saying.
You never know.
But yes, NASCAR has come to an abrupt end.
Boo! I was enjoying NASCAR, to be honest. I liked the drama. You know, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, season's over. What other drama do we have going on? That's like...
That's fair. Dancing with the Stars is done.
Yeah, I know.
You have to know that I feel like NASCAR felt like it was getting its ass handed to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And had to be like, on second thought, we're gonna... Let's make a deal here, Denny.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that they probably had one too many things exposed that they thought, like, they wouldn't have exposed. And I think they realized that the teams weren't going to budge. So they were like, we're just going to settle this before it gets too ugly and everybody actually sees how, like, sketchy we are.
I also think the it was probably not going to go well in terms of a jury, because don't forget this was a jury trial. And when you have to convince a jury, it's a lot different than having to convince a judge. And I feel like as the court was going, NASCAR was losing favor and just sounding like assholes.
Yeah.
And if you sound like an asshole to a jury, they're not really going to be on your side.
No.
Yeah. Like, again, let's go over the major points that sort of came up. It was, I think the main thing in terms of arguing that NASCAR's a monopoly was the whole SRX portion. of basically SRX wanting to race at tracks and then NASCAR just saying, no, we see you as a competitor. Fuck you.
Yeah, I think what's noted is how awful NASCAR tracks policy is. And how they don't allow other competitors to race on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that doesn't look good. I think on top of that, the whole supply deal they have with teams where they have to buy specific things that NASCAR then also, I think, is a chip off from, like, that wasn't looking good. Like, a whole lot of it was obviously not looking in NASCAR's favor. So they quickly said, fine, we'll settle. And yeah.
Folded.
NASCAR came to an abrupt end.
Thought, do we really want to do this over Christmas?
Yeah, it's like, do we have something better to do, guys? Like, come on. So yeah, we don't really know what they kind of agreed to yet. It was like charters in perpetuity is agreed to.
Permanent charter, so NASCAR is essentially a ball and stick sport.
Yep.
With franchises.
Yep. But like, that's better for everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 2311 and what was the other one?
Front row.
Yep, they get their charters back. So no harm, no foul. I'm going to guess there wasn't really a money settlement. I think it was more like a deal of how it was done.
There's probably some financial compensation, like legally, for the legal team. That wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe.
But probably not, what was it, $900 million or whatever in valuation. Oh,
yeah, that definitely was never going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a number to put pressure, so.
Yeah.
The teams got what they wanted in the end. And I think the biggest win for them, and the reason that there will be a bunch of Christmas gift baskets to 2311 and Front Row, is that these terms go out to the other teams as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, plus I think I saw something where like the valuations of charters, though we don't know them necessarily year to year, we don't really know what's happening unless they get sold. Apparently they went up to like close to $100 million, where the last valuation they were at like 50.
Yeah, that's fair.
So doubling the valuation. Yeah, we can send a little something over to Denny. We can, you know what, Denny? We're gonna cover your Christmas party this year. We saw how much you spend. We'll help cover it.
That's fair.
We'll throw you an extravagant Christmas party. No problem.
Yeah, Michael Jordan bet and he won. I think that's the biggest thing to say. Yep. So,
yeah.
Oh, God. What? I can't make a Michael Jordan gambling joke. Come on, Steven.
Never said you couldn't. I just.
Anyway, I think it's a good thing for NASCAR. I was kind of hoping maybe it could take down the track monopoly a little more in the country, just because of how, you know, it'd be kind of nice to see other series race at these tracks.
Yeah.
Like, it's besides just NASCAR series. Like, could the Cars Tour do stuff? Could other, like, could IndyCar race at some more NASCAR tracks? Because we know it makes sense why IndyCar kind of doesn't go to NASCAR tracks and how difficult it is, and NASCAR's not really a fan of it, versus, like, when you get, like, Phoenix coming up this year, that's kind of, like, the oddity. So I was hoping that can get taken off a little more when it comes to, like, NASCAR's monopoly powers, but at the end of the day, they did get knocked down a peg, and I think a lot of the team owners and the teams gained a lot of power in the sport, which is, in the end, good for the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to say that there's necessarily a winner in a situation like this, but the teams did win. They got what they wanted.
You could argue there's both winners, because the teams get more power, but NASCAR didn't lose its own power. it yep. still holds a large power of the sport. You know, it's still the head decision making. Nothing's really changing there. It's just they kind of had to chip off a little bit of leverage to the teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. No now, more.
No more.
I wonder, though, in NASCAR, if you're going to get disagreements in the future, say, between teams and the sport, do you see a driver's strike or a walkout a lockout sometime in the future now that charters are permanent?
Hey, if they wanted to be a ball and stick so sport so bad, they gotta
totally make sense through
it like everybody else. Yes. Yeah. We got MLB is coming up on a possible lockout.
Possible. The Dodgers get Scooble, it is gonna happen.
Yeah. NHL does it like every decade.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually sort of overdue for one. So
NBA actually has been well run.
NBA and NFL are in decent shape, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's making money. Everyone's happy.
Yep.
So that keeps the sport going. So the second NASCAR teams feel like they're not making money and NASCAR is, then you'll see probably some labor disputes in the future.
It's the risk you run when you want to be a ball and stick sport.
Yep. So yeah, anyway, that's all I got for NASCAR.
NASCAR. Dun dun.
It was such a fun thing to say, NASCAR.
It really was.
Well, again,
how well.
Say it in the future.
You never know.
So, I guess the other big thing is now staying on this side of the pond is IndyCar got its own independent officiating for 2026. Good, bad, indifferent?
Yeah, I feel kind of indifferent. I think it's interesting that they chose with it. They went with three people are leading the independent board. Right. Sorry, I should have pulled it up here. Who we got?
Didn't have Ray Evernham.
There we are.
Raj Nair and Ronan Morgan, who is the FIA representative.
Right.
Ray Evernham's an interesting one.
So who is that, Sean?
the guy that essentially made Jeff Gordon.
Right.
And then he made the SRX.
Yep.
Interesting.
So Ray Evernham basically was crew chief back in the day during the 90s of NASCAR for Hendrick Motorsports. He was Jeff Gordon's crew chief and basically built him the most ridiculous cars in the world, including the T-Rex car, which basically ran for one race, got banned because they looked at the rule book, they found every single loophole. Anyway, that's the kind of mind Ray Evernham really was. He kind of is like the Adrian Newey of NASCAR in the 90s.
And probably the guy that you want. The guy that went through the rule book, said, here's where I can exploit it. That's the guy you want now doling out punishment for breaking rules, because he's going to know
how
teams are looking for loopholes.
Exactly.
I just can't wait till he's walking through the paddock. Ah, Chip Ganassi, I see what you guys have done here. Very nice. Banned.
So, I think the Ray Evernham appointment is very good, and like you said, very strong. He knows, I guess, the driver side, the team side, the owner side, because he also used to own a team back in the day, and also how to run a series, as he was the co-founder of SRX. So he definitely has a good motorsport resume, I would say, for the role.
Yep.
Now, who are the other two?
So just reading the article here, Raj Nair mostly works with Ford. Sort of helped them develop their NASCAR IMSA and WEC series cars.
Yeah. Interesting. So
he's got a good technical background as well. Ronan Morgan is basically the FIA appointee to this group. And he's been around for a long time, apparently 50 years.
Wow, 50 years.
Yep. And served as a chairman of the stewards for over 100 international events and managed the sporting side of the Abu Dhabi Formula One Grand Prix for over a decade. I did see somewhere that his final race involving F1 was 2021 at the end of the season for a particular race. Oh. Maybe don't want to bring that up for when he's getting appointed to an officiating.
Right. Oh, if they do that for the 500, I swear to God.
Oh, boy.
So
they probably have like, oh gosh.
I mean, they've tried that for the 500 last few years. They have late cautions and they throw a red flag just to make sure it doesn't end under caution. Like,
Yeah.
So I'm sure he fits right in for IndyCar, actually.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason they brought him in. Show us how to do it.
How do we fuck up a ending to an important race? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's fair. Okay. That's an interesting point. It's good for IndyCar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely. I mean, I think you sort of had to after
Penske's multiple
getting caught multiple times red-handed, and people being like, "Roger, you can't. Yes, you're penalizing your own team, but you can't be doing that."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, I think it'll be good. Probably good for like the optics and the trust factor amongst fans.
I think that's 100% it. It's
yeah.
Legitimacy within the sport, like officiating side, there's no favoritism, there's no, I guess, bias. It's just, hey, these are three guys who are well versed in motorsports and they will be making decisions.
Yeah
and that's the other thing, is that so these guys are voted upon by the teams.
Yeah,
right.
It's not that Roger picked them and he gets to still put his thumb on the scale. Well, I mean, he is paying them, so maybe he does put his thumb on the scale a little bit.
But your paycheck bound? Sorry.
But yeah, the team's got to vote for it. Yes, that means Team Penske still gets a vote, but they're heavily diluted in terms of their power.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You don't know what's going to happen until the first major scandal rolls around, and I guess we'll have to wait and see when that happens. You can always be hopeful it doesn't happen, but let's be honest, it's going to happen at some point.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that sort of works out.
Yep.
But overall, fans seem happy, teams seem happy.
Yeah, I think it's overall a good move.
Yeah. And then I guess sticking with IndyCar, there was also a smaller note that we finally got some point changes for...
Oh, I thought you were talking about Super License.
No, we can talk about that after, but
no,
IndyCar finally got an update for their super license points, and it's still a step in the right direction. So
it's movement, but it's not great.
Yeah, they boosted like second and third place and like a little more.
Third place goes up from, so first and second stay the same at 40 and 30. Third goes to from 20 to 25. Fourth goes from 10 to 20, and yada yada yada. 10th place still only gets 1 point.
Oh, okay.
So just a reminder, this is still below the F2 and F the Formula Series ladder. I think the first three places all get 40 points, right? So
you need 40 in 3 years, I think, to get the license, right? That's how it is?
Yeah.
40 in 3 years. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, even if you win the IndyCar Championship, you do not get a super license. Oh, no, yes, you do. IndyCar first is 40. So that's the only way.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, the only series that also has 40, like when it comes to F2, if you finish first, second, or third in that, you get 40 points. So the second place IndyCar driver can get as much super license points as the fourth place. Yeah, fourth place F2. I understand why Herta went there.
Yeah. Especially if, like, who knows? I mean, his arrival on the F1 grid can be sooner, could be sooner than later, depending on how well he does in F2. We shall see.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Wow.
Yep, so. Guess we'll see if they continue to change or not.
Would this have helped Herta at all?
Probably not.
Would it have helped Herta?
Yeah, because he was seventh this year. But he got enough points. Yeah. I mean, I think over the last few years, it would have helped Herta. If this had been the change, I think he would have had the license. I don't necessarily think this is as a result of Colton Herta, because he had a second place a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's like, so if these rules were in place, Herta definitely has his license. But I think with him going and kind of putting up a stink about how bad the system is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to kind of do something.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, either way, we'll see if he can get there this year.
I'm going to bet the rest probably.
Yeah. Well, it's so a completely different car, so we'll see.
I think he needs to finish the top 10 in that series.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's literally the how you doing that's fellow doable. Kids meme. Like, he's definitely the old guy of the
paddock. Yeah, is he going to be the oldest on the F2 grid?
I actually don't think he is, because he's only 25.
He's only 25. Why do I say this? Every single time we learn of a driver's age, I'm like, they're only this. And I'm like, right, they're all young.
We are old.
Yeah.
We are old. We are old.
But yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah. So then, I guess, speaking of the Formula Series, fun stuff that we didn't get to talk about yet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, before we get there, Kiffin Simpson has a sick-ass Sonoma livery.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That.
Yes.
Yes,
Simpson,
I will be buying
at.
That. Yeah, that's the merch I gotta get. That one specifically.
That's specific merch. You know, okay,
if you finally get it, fine.
Thank God. This year we'll get it.
This year, okay, all right. We're holding you to it.
Fuck, Colton Herta and his teammate, by the way, are the two oldest guys on the F2 grid at 25 and 26.
Oh, wow. Oof.
The fact that racing against teenagers is kind of hilarious, not going to lie. Anyway.
Yep. It's Formula Ladder stuff. I think we sort of touched on it. Nui is going to be the Aston Martin team principal.
Yep.
Going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Great choice.
Very interesting. Head
technical designer. Thoughts, comments, concerns, Sean?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Reaction from the Aston Martin.
Great kind
fan
of
on the pod.
It makes sense what they're doing of trying to basically create an actual organization that works. And a guy like Nui has the experience to do it. So.
Yeah.
And he is probably
he's worked everything from the bottom to the top. So might as well have him be there.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going to fully step back from designing. He just will go to more of a directing versus actually, doing CAD drawings and shit like that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he's probably also had, like, already had a massive impact on the design of the car.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I'm so excited for next year.
Oh, is it going to finally be Aston year?
No, definitely not. But they'll be more competitive.
Yeah. Well.
DNF in 19th.
Yeah, people are going to be so pissed off at Stroll next year. I guarantee it.
Probably.
His daddy bought him a car.
The second Stroll has a good result, people are going to lose their mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, yep, so that's...
That's
great
Aston
news.
Martin.
We love that.
Red Bull. The funny news, Helmut is out at Red Bull.
Finally, thank goodness.
Decided to torch his way out as well.
The guy is such a...
How did he torch his way out? What happened?
He was basically shit talking the team and saying, if we had fired Horner earlier, we would have won, or Max would have won the championship.
Don't see the correlation, but okay.
I don't see, like, what?
No, I don't disagree,
always, like...
also. But the people you're shit talking on the way out are the people who also weren't in those positions to make those calls.
Yeah. Well, he was like, Horner always lied. Like, he have like a massive like tirade after he left? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it shows sort of where the team was from a, I don't know, political standpoint.
Like an internal.
Yeah. Mm. Just more more confirmation.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm interested to see how that team will do now. That I feel like the guys who started the team are all gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people that filled the roles that were left, are they there for nepotism or are they there because they actually put in the work and deserve to be in those spots? If they deserve to be there, I think that team can do very well. If it's a little more rotten with some nepo positions up the org chart, then maybe there will be some struggles in Rebels' future.
It'll be interesting to see how things pan out in the first year of like a regulation change. So, and it's like the first year without those major leaders in that team. So it'll be very interesting to see how next year goes for them.
It's going to be something, like, you never something know. Kind of like I feel like Mercedes back in the last 5 years, where they were the dominant car. Then a bunch of guys left, a bunch of guys moved on. And they kind of fell back to the pack. I feel like Red Bull is kind of at that point now where they're not beating everyone like they used to. And I'm curious to see who's really going to take the lead, essentially, in the constructor battle going next year and into these new regulations. It's not going to be a Ferrari. Sorry, Taylor.
No, it won't. You're very right. It won't be Ferrari. I don't have a lot of faith.
It's okay. You tried. Anyway.
It is what it is.
Speaking of our friend Horner, apparently he's linked to Alpine for a possible comeback.
Was it Flavio?
With Flavio.
Oh my gosh.
Cheater and the cheater. So, you know.
Providing both definitions of the word.
Yeah, one cheats in the dictionary. One cheated on a fucking Spice Girl. You fucking dumbass. Anyway.
So. Nothing substantial, just a rumor that got floated out there.
Well, we like rumors. We'll see. They're fun.
We'll see. It wouldn't be surprising. People were surprised when Flavio was allowed to come back. Or not even allowed to come back. Someone was like, yeah, this seems like a good idea.
Yeah. F1 kind of has like hockey mentality where it's just keep recycling the same people in these positions.
Yep. The same 40 dudes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other stuff? You got anything else?
I was going to say, last F1 thing is MBS is staying on. Hooray.
Wow, we did not see that coming. The guy has basically ran unopposed. Wow, shocker.
Yeah. Boo, but also unsurprising, unfortunately. Yeah.
I think the majority of people said boo and or hiss.
Yep. Checks out.
So he will continue to ruffle the hair of every world champion going forward. Which we didn't talk about. That was kind of really fucking weird, right?
Everything about the championship celebration was weird, okay?
Yeah.
All the hair ruffling and everything else, like.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch it. I was so mad, but also, like, it is what it is. But I turned it off pretty much as soon as I knew that Lando was going to win. So I did not see any of this hair ruffling, any of the club celebrations afterwards. My feed has been very much not in that world.
That's fair. It's been okay. Anyway, I will say in other news to go away from F1 and IndyCar and NASCAR, some IMSA news. Genesis is talking about launching their car in 2027 mid-season for IMSA.
In mid-season, interesting.
Yes. I think it's supposed to debut this year in 2026 for WEC, and then they're going to bring it over to IMSA in 2027. Another GTP. Like that. Should be fun.
Yep.
Connor Zilich is racing in the Rolex.
Oh, nice.
For Cadillac Whelen.
Interesting. That'll be good.
That I feel like it's a Cadillac, so I feel like they might get fucked over. But Connor Zilich, and we know how good he can be, so.
Yes, I'm sure you'll be watching the 24-hour of Daytona with
watching it, aren't we?
Yes, we are. No, we are. We are. All 24 hours.
I'll be shocked if you watch 5.
Excuse me. I watched like a solid 8 last year.
Point proven. But yeah, that's kind of all I got for news. Nothing else in the news. Want to talk about the year as a whole?
The year as a whole.
2025 motorsports year. Thoughts? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Meh.
For me, it's a lot of off-track shit.
Yeah. I feel like the off-track stuff was a lot more interesting, or like that was popping off way more than any on-track action. I think with IndyCar, like with Palou having such a dominant season, like IndyCar was kind of okay to watch. Like you had some interesting battles and like interesting races, but it's not like you were watching in excitement that somebody else could win the championship. I think F1 got exciting at the end ish but overall I feel like it was kind of a frustrating year for F1. And NASCAR is NASCAR. I will forever be upset that Denny Hamlin's year. I'm so upset.
I feel like more people were upset by racing this year than happy with it. So
yeah, I think that's very fair.
F1 shenanigans aside, you have Lando winning. I think a lot of people are more unhappy of Lando winning than happier if one of the other guys won.
More so the way it went down with all the questions. That, again, we sort of went over it last week. If he had just dominated Oscar, sort of like people had thought, it might happen. No problem.
But if Oscar just gets fucked over and all the points given to Lando, people are going to be annoyed.
Yeah, again, if it's magically, we won the Constructors. Oscar's car went to shit all of a sudden. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very interesting. And then on the other side, you have I would say like NASCAR, people were really unhappy with how that ended. People weren't really unhappy with IndyCar, how it ended, but I think more disappointed there wasn't really a championship fight. I think WEC, there wasn't really much of a fight either, because I'm pretty sure the Ferraris won that pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been a year of just like people wanting more like on-track competition, more fights. And like that comes, some years are better than others. For the NASCAR side, again, all the off-track court stuff, really big distractions. F1 court stuff, I guess IndyCar court stuff with Palou. Like it really was a year of lawsuits, it seemed.
Mm-hmm. Like more troubles than anything else, really.
So Do you guys have a favorite race of the year? Favorite race or race weekend of 2025?
Ooh.
I think I said for F1 it was Zandvoort last week. And that's sort of the first one that came to mind. Australia popped off as like a debut.
I want to say I kind of have two. Like, F1, I think, will, like, Montreal is always my answer.
I feel like for this year, that has to be your number one.
It's definitely my number one. But I will also say, like, a shout out to Toronto, because RIP, the Toronto GP, or the Toronto IndyCar race. But I thought that was also a great race. It was exciting.
Mixed pit strategy.
Still cannot believe that I missed the opportunity to get a photo with Kiffin Simpson. So miffed.
Yeah,
seeing Scott Dixon like as a human being was, I was like, that's cool. But yeah, no, Montreal was just super cool. I mean, you can't beat the hairpin on Sunday for the F1 race. Like, that was dope. And like inside of the hairpin, that was really cool. So that was definitely a highlight.
Yeah, I think Toronto, for me, for races gone to, Toronto was probably one of my favorite ones and one of the best years. It really did kind of end on a high with just that race, the strategy. Like, you had a whole very unpredictable. So Toronto was a very good race. I will say, for one that I didn't watch, like, sorry, I wasn't there to watch, but I just couldn't stop watching it. This one's going to, I think, surprise you out of nowhere. 6 hours at the Glen.
Oh, I heard that race was interesting, though.
That,
like,
race,
I heard it was good.
Nuts. Just because, like, it torrential rain, it dried. And then, like, that one, at one point, the Lamborghini was leading with Grosjean, and he was, like, dying. Like, that race was absolutely nuts. It came down, like, to a really tight finish. I think Acura won that one. Anyway, that was one that, like, I just couldn't look away, because it just seemed like everything was happening, like, every time. And for a six-hour, like, endurance race, it was one of my favorite of the year. Really random, honestly. Random, but that was the best. And then also fun weekend.
That's a good choice.
Nice.
CTMP, IMSA, as always. It's great.
Fabulous weekend. So much fun.
You
said the
booth.
The racing's always so good. I know.
Yeah, you did not have a fun weekend that time. Meanwhile, I got to literally watch all the shit shows that happened around that, because I just had good spots.
Yeah, I have so much regret over that decision, because there's silver linings in everything, because I think I realized how much I enjoy being trackside and how much I enjoy marshalling and being a part of it. So there's, like, that silver lining. However, I also regret the decision, because I missed it, and it was a fantastic race. So
that is true.
That's okay.
But yeah. Anyway, anything else for this year?
Is there a singular favorite moment?
Ooh. Oh, a favorite moment?
Yeah, not like, so yeah, something you don't have to pick out from necessarily a race. Could be a race, part of a race.
Favorite, I feel like, moment. For me, favorite moment was Pelot winning the 500. Because I think in that moment, you're just like, oh, fuck, it is his year. Like, he had only finished first or second up until then. And then wins the 500. You're like, yeah, he's give him the trophy now. He's not getting beat. He's untouchable this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably that for me, of just being like, unreal. Unreal. And I definitely think he is cemented as already an IndyCar great.
Yep.
I think one of my favorite moments was Kiffin's podium, honestly. I think it was fantastic. It was great for the plot. He's been doing really well. So, just all around good vibes. I thought it was hilarious.
That's fair.
That was a very memorable moment, because I just remember we were all popping off being like, where's the merch? But it was such an exciting, like, race to watch and be a part of. So that stands out to me. I mean, but the 500 win, absolutely. But yeah. Steven? favorite moment?
Yes, I'm mildly surprised Sean didn't say this, because part of the reason I brought it up was I just really wanted to mention once again that it's been almost a year, and I had to double check that this was 2025. Tommy Milner flipping off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. The board at the Daytona 24
hour. Honestly, the fact that it happened again is even funnier.
Yes.
It then happened in Bahrain. And the best part about that, of a Corvette flipping off a BMW in Bahrain, was it was the same BMW driver.
Yeah.
So.
Or yes, it was the BMWs, not the Fords.
Yeah, that was it. That was a fantastic moment. And to think that that was like one of the moments that started our whole season of racing.
There was a lot of good memorable moments, I feel, this year.
Oh, yeah. You had that. You had
Papaya rules.
You had Piastri watching the race trackside off a cell phone. You had Leclerc sitting on the inside of Zandvoort after he got taken out. Oh, yeah. the pictures of him on a hill. What else is there? Had to be a whole bunch more.
I feel like this was a fun year. Like, as much as off track shenanigans and stuff, I think in terms of fans, a lot of fans had fun this year. I think it's a good year for growing the sport, getting people excited. I think 2026 might actually be a better year.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Like, 2025, honestly, is not leaving big shoes to fill. So I feel like 2026 is gonna be good. We're gonna have some really awesome moments.
Yeah, it's not leaving big shoes to fill, but like, it's like opening the door for like 2026, maybe like breakthrough there.
Yeah, yeah, it's giving 2026 an opportunity to like be fantastic.
Yeah.
I will also say 2025 was the first year of Will Buxton in the booth with Hinch, and I loved it. Townsend Bell's there too, but whatever. Yeah.
I'm surprised your moment of the year was not the Weenie 500.
No, the Weenie 500.
Which, again, for memeable moments, one of the best.
The Weenie 500 will forever be one of my favorite races to have ever taken place on this earth. Fixed or not, rigged or not, the Weenie 500 is where it's at. Oh, I hope we get part two next year.
I think there's a good chance.
Is it confirmed? Do we even know? Like, will the Oscar Mayer Weenie 500 come back? Weenie 500 2026.
Looking forward to 2026. What are you most looking forward to?
The Weenie 500
will return. Is it back?
It is expecting to be back.
Damn it. Okay, fine.
It has officially opened applications for 2026 Wiener Mobiles. They need drivers, guys.
I win the lottery, I will buy a Wienermobile and let you drive it in the Indy or the Weenie 500. Okay? That is a deal.
We can apply to be the drivers. Oh, that'd be fantastic. Anyway, I'm looking forward to, I think, the regulation change in F1. I'm excited for something new.
Yep. Yeah. I feel like these newest changes, the ground effect rules, were overhyped. People thought they were going to be a lot more fun, closer racing. Honestly, we did not get that.
Yeah.
I am curious to see the new F1 ones. I think it'll be a good grid shakeup. You're going to have a new team. Like, F1 2026, I think, is stacking up to be exciting.
New team. Sauber completely rebranded. They're now Audi Revolut.
Yeah. Audi, Cadillac. Like, you just have so many actual car names. It's kind of feeling 2007 F1. Don't pay attention to what happened after that. Let's not focus on the crash of the economy. But we're feeling real 2007 right now. And racing is great. Cars are fun. I don't know. Everything kind of seems to be going positive right now. There seems to be a lot of money in motorsports, surprisingly. Yes. IMSA keeps growing.
And that's actually one news piece that we didn't talk about.
Anyone that new
No, CTMP has new owners.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, our home track. Yeah,
that's what happens when Steven's in charge of the news. He forgets these things.
You took over the news.
I just mentioned Kiff and Simpson.
Regardless, there's a lot of money coming into motorsports right now, including our home track, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
But
Other, I guess, on the same kind of news with CTMP getting its new ownership, VIR bought out like its land. Ooh. So it actually lands on versus being on a lease.
Nice. So good for them.
Yeah. Again.
Yay.
Tracks, money. Everything seems to be pointing in a good direction for motorsports. I can't wait for something to fuck it up.
We live on the edge of doom.
Just every time something seems to be going in a positive direction, something happens. Either someone bombs something, fucking diseases happen, or like, you know, or, you know, bad economic policy collapses everything. I'm just saying, I'm ready to get hurt in 2026, but I like where everything is going.
No, I'm not. You know what? I'm not. I'm not ready to be hurt in 2026 because 2025 already had too much. It had too much hurt. I need 2026 to be a semi-decent year.
Okay, if you could ask for one thing going into 2026, what would it be? Specifically in the context of motorsports.
Thank you for that clarification. It was going to be in the world of motorsports. Honestly, just like competitiveness. I just want competitive championships.
I am a racing god, and I am giving you one wish for 2026, and it's fucking competitiveness?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
The Ferrari fan gets a free wish. And she Ferraris it.
I'm not doing that. I am not wishing for anything with Ferrari anymore because I keep wishing that every single year and it doesn't work. I'm learning.
Okay.
At some point, the delusions break, okay? I'm being realistic. I just want the grid to be competitive. I don't care. If it's Ferrari, awesome. If it's not, well, that's just the same thing as always.
Fair enough.
I have to temper my expectations going into next year.
Steven?
I also feel like even if she did say Ferrari, Sean is the racing god that would find a loophole. And that you have to do that video where it's like, you get three wishes. First wish, I get to double check all the loopholes before actually making the wish. No, I did say... You covered the loophole of doll hairs, yes.
Listen. Mm-hmm. I'm a benevolent racing god.
No, you're not. Shut up.
No, you're not. Come on.
Puny god.
That's fair.
Good reference.
Mine would go one of two ways. Either Oscar Piastri.
Pick a lane. Pick one.
I just want to explain both. I would go with Oscar Piastri World Driver Championship next year because he deserves it. The other one is also a World Drivers Championship, but for Lance Stroll, just for the lulz.
Granted.
Yes, Sean's just like, absolutely.
I would love to watch F1 Twitter melt down.
I think the entire, like, F1 series would melt down, and not even also, just like the internet.
And also just the post race at whenever he wins it, so Lance, you're world champion, how's it feel? Okay. Yeah, it feels great.
Honestly, you know? I want to see Lance win next year.
You know, it'd be
if Lance Stroll wins.
Something I've dreamed about since a kid.
I want to see his honest reaction. Cause yeah, I think it'd be absolutely hilarious.
the most nonchalant, like, yeah, this is great. Thanks, guys.
Car was great. The team did great, and we had a good season.
How long have you been practicing that impression for? Because that's actually pretty good.
You just gotta pretend to be kind of stoned, but also a little happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, just kind of be stoned, but also think you're a billionaire.
Yeah, you gotta be like a happy stone guy who did, like, got stoned and someone said, hey, I showed up with McDonald's, and you throw a little Canadian twang in there and you're set.
The way that went, like, almost Letterkenny, like
a little at the end.
What's happening? The Ottawa Valley is just sneaking in there.
Okay, so as much as I would love to wish people to win, I have a long list of people to win.
Yes. Right. Okay. What is your wish?
Well, again, I would love for Mick Schumacher to win the 500. I'd love for Kiffin Simpson to get a win. I would love, like, again, Stroll to get a win. So many things in terms of guys winning. But what I actually want to see next year in terms of motorsports, if I could have a wish, and that would be everything to kind of step up a level. Not like the top stuff, not like NASCAR and F1 that are kind of already up there, but I would like to see IndyCar start hitting closer to NASCAR numbers, like make NASCAR a little nervous. I want to see IMSA kind of hitting where IndyCar number is now. I kind of want to see that get up. I would like to see, like, I think social media is doing a good job exposing other types of motorsports now. Like, you're seeing a lot of, I think, content regarding rally stuff, regarding like drifting events, stuff like that, bikes. So if we can kind of just kind of keep that momentum going and basically just kind of float everything a little bit higher, again, get everything more popular, more money in motorsports, keep the health of the sports alive is kind of my thought. That's my wish, and that's what I would want to see.
All right,
it's pretty good.
That's a good wish.
Thank you. So anyway, Lance Stroll, granted. And everything else, fuck off. Okay, yeah. I think that's kind of it. I don't really have anything else.
What a year.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Here's to 2026.
Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
Damn it, why did you say that?
No. Oh. 2025 was such a year. Can we please just have a good year?
2025 was great compared to, like, you know, the past, but, like, yeah. Listen, everything's been downhill since, like, 2018.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we lost Harambe.
Oh my gosh. Whoa. Jeez.
We need a Harambe car to run an iRacing. We need that.
The way my brain just went back in time, like, wow. Oh, RIP Harambe, we miss you.
Yeah, that's valid. Anyway, is that all we got this week?
All we got this year.
Yeah, that's here. And this is our final episode of Spare Parts Racing, the podcast. Because next year, we're going to be starting something brand new, keeping Spare Parts as the channel, but going in somewhat different directions in terms of what we want to put out. So, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. We will see you in the new year for something brand new. And yeah, have a good one. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Spare Parts Racing Podcast. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss an episode and follow the show on Twitter at Spare Parts Racing. That's Spare Parts RACIN. And on TikTok at Spare Parts Pod. Follow the hosts at Sean Chavarella, at Stephen Clary, and at Tay Tay Moore.